Welcome to the Bariatric Nutrition Coach Podcast, where we empower you with weight loss surgery, nutrition knowledge, mindset advice, and inspiration, so you succeed in your weight and health journey. I'm your host, Jane Stoltz, and I am a bariatric dietitian who has helped over 1,300 people on their weight loss surgery journeys. I'm also a solo mum, lover of long walks while listening to podcasts, partial to a glass of wine, and the ocean is my happy place. Join me as I dive deep into bariatric nutrition and lifestyle topics and deliver them to you in bite-sized, palatable episodes every Monday. Now let's go. So welcome everyone to this very special podcast with my very special guest, Manu. And we were laughing before we jumped on this podcast about how to pronounce her beautiful Italian name. And I just kept it really simple because I know I wouldn't do a good enough job. So I would love to introduce Manu, but I think probably better to ask Manu to introduce herself. And many of you listening will actually possibly be following or know her on Instagram. So welcome, Manu. I invite you to share what you would like us to know about you.
Thank you so much for having me. Yes, I am Manu. I had my gastric sleeve in September 2022. Of a total loss around 130 pounds-ish. And yeah, it's been the best thing I've done for me in my entire life. After my kids, maybe.
Got to root for you both. No, it is. It's amazing. I mean, your people are following you and would be attracted to your honesty, sense of humor, and you're really positive. And so that's what I love when I found you on Instagram. You've lost really, I know you said pounds there, and some people will say kilograms because people are in different parts of the world, but you've really lost half your weight. You halved your weight, didn't you?
Yeah, I lost half of myself.
Yes.
Basically. Yeah. And it's going to be a kind of a joke if say like this. But yeah, I lost half of myself and I found myself. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's been an amazing process, honestly. I've been amused by the whole process since day one. It's been challenging, facing these new changes, but the determination to do better, to finally get where I wanted to be, was on another level. You know what I mean?
Your before and after pictures are the really dramatic version. And what I have reflected on is you look not only happier and brighter in the eyes, but also you look so much younger.
Yes, yes. I feel like I lost weight and I lost years off of me. One of my posts, a lady told me that I look now like my own daughter. And I totally agree. When I see my before pictures, I say, oh my God, that's not a 36 years young woman. She looked like this. Not that was, it was quite traumatic to see how I let myself go and get to that state, dark place, dark thoughts, everything. It was sad. So yeah, you said right. I'm a lot happier. I'm still working on myself, obviously, because the mental side, the work that you need to put on your mental side is going to take long, long. It's not just overnight. But I'm getting there. And once I manage to fix the body, it's like it's a process, like mind and body, they follow each other until they find a connection. And you finally feel good here, you feel good here, and you feel good with the rest of the world. It's true.
You just said that really well. And you put your hands together. And I'm saying that because your two hands together, because of some people will be listening to this on my podcast, but this is also, we're doing this on Zoom and it will go into my YouTube. But it can take people quite a lot longer than many people think after bariatric surgery for everything to come together. And it can take several years because body changes quickly. The emotional mind, how you see yourself, how you are going to be as a person who's had bariatric surgery in the world, can take a lot longer to catch up. But it can be quite uncomfortable. I've had so many people talk about that in those early days. But you also said there, Manu, something really, I think so many women will understand and relate to. And like you said, you lost yourself. And you have young children, two young, lovely girls, don't you? Yep. And so do you lose yourself before, and then they just like life kind of took you, you're on a big wave, so to speak, and then with young children, it's all about them and all the energy goes on them, and you can forget about yourself, I think, as a mum. And many women I work with as well aren't good at self-care and don't know how to put themselves kind of, I call it, on the list. So I'd love you to talk a little bit more about that, because I think so many women do feel like that, especially when their children are really young and they've put on weight through their pregnancies. It might have been before, and then it kind of pregnancies add to it.
Yeah, absolutely. When I got pregnant the first time, it was in 2018, I started to suffer with severe back pain, which I thought that was normal back pains from pregnancies. Instead, in 2021, I found out that it was osteoarthritis. So even that, it was another factor added to the long list of the things that made me lose myself. Because when I became a mom, I became a mom and I forgot how to be also a woman. Do you know what I mean? So, and I really struggled being Italian. I'm alone in this country. Apart from my husband, I have no one. My whole family is in Italy. So when I was pregnant with my first child, I was alone and dealt with things alone. And I think it was a massive, massive pressure on my shoulders, on my head, in my mind. And then when I decided to completely lose myself and I decided to rely on food, I always rely on food. I'm Italian. Food is good, okay? But the relationship that I used to have with food, it was wrong. It was toxic. And that's when I've reached my deepest point in my life. And I knew that if I didn't do nothing about it, I couldn't have an ending. Or if I had an ending, it would be a very bad one. I know that for sure. But yes, I lost myself through the pregnancies, not just as a woman, even as a wife. I bless my husband. He's been such a rock for me, supported all the time in my darkest moment to the brightest and vice versa. And yes, it was a massive journey, both when I was going down and my rise. So yeah, bariatric surgery, yeah, it was my redemption.
Okay. I would love to know, and we've been on a live together, and I think you might have shared a little bit about this, but I think it's a good question. I think people, especially if they're thinking about surgery, maybe will appreciate this. Can you remember the point where you decided to, what was that breaking point, that point you decided to have surgery? Can you remember it, or was it a moment, or was it over a few months, or something kind of came into you as an idea to have surgery? And then I'd love to know more about that movement of being lost, or that place of being lost, to it moving into action and doing something about it.
Well, yes, because I find out that after the pregnancy, both the pregnancies, and when I reached my heaviest weight, I could do anything to lose weight, maybe also succeed, but straight the failure was coming back in. So I felt hopeless, helpless. And when I find out about bariatric surgeries, I didn't know there was such a thing in the world to defeat obesity, severe obesity. And when I find out, I say, that's it. That's what I need. That could be my only way out. A lot of people say that it's the easy way out. No, it's the only way out for some of us, probably for all of us. And it was like when you are in a dark room and you look for a little bit of light from a window. And that's what was bariatric surgery for me when I found out about it and said, that's it. That's me. I'm going to go through that light and get out from this dark room and live my best life. And that's what I did. I needed it.
Fantastic. That is lovely. And you're just, the way you explain that is really why people love watching you. It's that you're positive and you took an opportunity by the horn, so to speak, because I don't think you took a lot of time thinking about it. You didn't sit on the bench, or not the bench, but you didn't think about it for 2 years and then have it. You found out about it and went for it.
Yeah, no, straight away. I find out after 2 months, I had the surgery, because I obviously checked with the health system here, but I found out basically that the waiting list was too long. I couldn't wait anymore. So I booked the ticket, I booked the surgery, I went to Turkey alone, have it done, 5 days back, that's it, done. So all the process, I'm very determined. If I want something, I go and get it. I couldn't wait any longer. I was wasting my time for me, for my children, for my husband, everyone.
Well, that's fantastic. Thank you for sharing that. And I haven't really introduced the topic today. I mean, we're on here to talk about a particular topic, and it's going to be a topic that many people want to know more about, and it's a key struggle after weight loss surgery, and it's the dreaded stall. And that means for people that are pre-surgery maybe listening, thinking, what exactly is that? That is the term that is really commonly used when weight loss stops in your weight loss phase. So after weight loss surgery, you're not going to lose weight for the rest of your life, because you would end up as a tiny little person, get blown away, I'd say, by a wind. But you have, your weight loss will stop. That's when you move into weight maintenance. But in your weight loss phase, everyone, yes, wants weight loss to go lovely, steady. And if you graph it, it's a beautiful straight line. And unfortunately, it's not the case. But I also want to preface here, I don't love the word stall. I do use it a bit because people know what I mean. But I probably prefer the word plateau, because stall kind of sounds negative. And I think people think, go into that negative headspace when a stall comes. And I understand why. But it's normal and it's expected. So it's kind of like we've just opened the top of a can of worms. I wonder when that saying comes from. I don't know, but kind of, does that translate to your Italian?
No, we kind of have the same sometimes, the same saying. Yeah.
Can of spaghetti. No, I'm just joking. Yeah. So this is such a big, big topic. It's emotional. Can you remember when your first stall happened, or what have they been like for you in your journey?
Right. I actually never really experienced a stall, because when I thought I did, after a few months, find out that I didn't. Because if you don't lose weight for 1 week, it's not even considered a stall. It's just, like you said, you prefer to call it plateau. I just call it process, because the stall in this weight loss surgery journey is a process. Weight loss per se is a process. Maintenance is a process. Everything is a process. And if we understand that stalls are part of the process, it will be a lot easier. But obviously, it's not possible. We humans, we have bariatric surgery to lose weight. The only thing that we want to see is the number dropping on the scales. And it doesn't matter how many times we get told, it's normal, don't worry, keep up with your protein, keep up with this, keep up with that. It is frustrating. I do understand that. But we need to accept it. And like, actually, yesterday I posted about this. We have two options. Stop and cry over spilt milk, or do something about it and move on. That's it.
Wait. And is it valid to stop and cry? I think it is, but make it short.
Yes.
Like, acknowledge and have self-compassion. But also, I think, know where that comes from. And it's the dieting world of you should be always losing weight or it's bad. And I also think the head knows things, but the heart doesn't listen. That's how I put it. Because we can say it's normal, but I know that people want to see those scales always moving down. So, it's a little bit of upset, and then move back into action and move into focusing on the things that matter.
Upsetting when you are a bariatric patient and you experience a stall, because you spend so much time always being negative about yourself, that as soon we see something that is not going the right way, the way that we think is the right way, it's easier for us to think bad things than over good things, because we set our mind on that negativities. That's why I'll keep saying the mindset is the key. Mindset is everything. If you stall, if you don't stall, if you maintain, if you don't maintain, if you are a slow loser or not, mindset is always the key for success. But not just in weight loss, in life in general. And this is something that I learned through this journey.
Yes.
It's powerful.
It is really powerful. And is it hard to change your mindset and your thoughts? Yes, it is. But it's possible. I can't remember if it was a live or a podcast, and I was talking about I was asking, stepping people through, where do you go when you hop on the scales and they don't tell you what you want? Where do you go in your head? What do you say to yourself? And I think that's what you were saying, like, from the years of dieting, you have these people have automatic things people say to themselves. And I was on one of my group coaching calls with my clients, and one of them said weight loss hadn't moved for like a week. And that panic of, is this it? Is it going to stop now? Is this all I've got? And it's not, we go into, people go into not being, it's not real. So I love that. Yeah. And it is, can you have a little be upset? Yep. But also pick up that you're going that way and then decide to move positive and go into a positive space. Do you think exercise has helped you there, or moving your body? What do you think helps you, Manu, move if you're feeling a little bit frustrated or down with something like your weight loss? If that those thoughts come up, what do you feel shifts you from feeling that way to a bit more of a positive mindset?
Because I was tired to always be sad or disappointed about myself. I was just tired to have those kind of thoughts. Oh my God, I'm never going to look good, or this is not going to fit, or this and that. I was just tired. That's why I started to work more on my mind than actually on my body. And when I kind of found a balance in my mind is when I started to exercise. And then I realized that in the beginning, I was probably doing it for the wrong reason, because exercise helped the process. I can lose more weight. No, exercising was helping my mind, was making me feel good. I exercise now because I feel good. I want to hold this new version of myself. I want to keep it happy, healthier, and that's it. That's my positivity. I just don't want to be negative anymore about myself. I just want to see positive things. I want to see good things.
Beautiful. And I love what you just said about activity, exercise. I will say exercise, but I'd like to say activity, because some people love the gym, but other people just don't, and they want to do other things. And that is fine and good. Activity is wonderful for stress relief and managing negative thoughts. And we hold stress in our body. Our bodies are made to move. And when you lose weight, it becomes more enjoyable. And I think I was on live this morning, like saying maybe in the beginning, it's not, doesn't feel as enjoyable, but in time, it is enjoyable to move your body. So that is wonderful. So that's really wonderful. So I also wanted to talk a little, and we'll go more into kind of that stall. But I just wanted to talk about an analogy I've got that might help people, because I loved what you're saying. A lot of people have that app on the phone that they track weight, and there's, you know, you can graph your weight. And yeah, everyone wants it to be a lovely line. But I like to, you know, explain that we expect it to be like a step. And you, that the step where you put your foot would be when your weight is kind of at the same. And then it goes down, and then there's another period when it goes flat, and we expect the steps to get bigger and longer as you move further from your surgery. And no one's stairway is going to be the same as someone else's. Okay? Yeah, so I think that's good to really talk about, because most people say, like, they expect, or someone shares their graph and it's all lovely and going straight. Did you use apps like that, Manu? How do you monitor your progress in a way that feels good for you? I'd love to know, how often do you weigh, and what does that look like for you?
Well, I used to use an app called My Weight. You basically put your own progress in there, and also the Rainfo app that is linked to the body scale. So all the progresses come up there with BMI and things. And in the beginnings of my journey, I used to weigh myself daily, like most of us do. Then realized that it wasn't healthy, so I started to weigh myself weekly. And after 7, 8 months, I started to abandon the scale and weigh myself monthly. And since I reached my target in January, I didn't really weigh myself anymore until last week. Because, yes, I want to drop the number. I need to maintain. Probably I need to lose more. But I don't want the scale to dictate me. Because for most of us, I always consider the scale as a bully. It literally bully with us and mess with our head and making things a lot worse, because we are so obsessed to drop that number that we don't see all the other positive things that are happening in our body, like lose inches or fitting in new clothes, the confidence that is coming out, a lot of other factors. The things that you can just sit and cross your legs over, or you can sit in, on the airplane and you don't need the belt extension anymore, or you can fit in your robe after a shower. These feelings are amazing, a lot better than just a number, to be honest, in my opinion. But this, again, is another process. If you work on your mind, you're going to get there.
Yes. And it sounds like you've got to that point of what I call relaxed self-monitoring. And I call it that because it's not that kind of tense, rigid, weighing all the time and being really fixated on the scales, but it's definitely a process to get there. And I love when you put the scales are a bully, because it can really feel like that. And so many people are really affected so much about the scales. I just did a podcast, I don't think it's even out yet, called What's Your Relationship with the Scales? Do you need a bit of time apart? Have you been, didn't go into toxic or codependent or anything, but it is, it's breaking up with them a little bit, having a bit more of a open relationship. You love fashion. You're getting into fashion. I saw that on your Instagram. You've got clothes that will give you feedback of how things are going.
Yes.
Yeah. Tell me all about fashion. And is your husband now like, oh my goodness, the clothes spending is going up? Or what's that like for you?
The only thing that my husband has now is to lock me up in the bedroom. He's more than happy to spend money and fit my wardrobe, because he can see how happy it makes me to finally dress because I like something and not because I'm covering myself. Because before, I could take a curtain from my window and wrap myself in, that's it, it was fitting. Now, no, I can wear a nice dress, I can wear heels, I can wear high knees, boots, skirt, mini skirt. And yeah, it's amazing. It's like you, when you find yourself, you find a lot of things about yourself as well. Like, I thought that I lost my style, because I've not been obese all my life. So I used to be this before. And that's where I say I found myself. Some people, instead, they get to know themselves again. But I found myself, and finding myself, yeah, I found my style, my love for fashion, for clothes, to show the skin instead of cover it. It's just amazing and amazing. And who cares if that number is still same point of last week? If I can fit in a smaller clothes, it's happening.
Yeah,
you just don't have a proof. This happening is there.
Exactly. And it does play, I think, with people's heads, in the sense you can't quite get your head around it. That so many times people say, Jane, the scale's not moving, but I've dropped a dress size or the clothes size, or the jeans I put on now are loose. Yeah, there's so much inaccuracy in our scales that we generally have. I mean, there are very accurate scales in universities and hospitals, but for the average scales that we have, there's lots of inaccuracy. They don't pick up all the body composition. So yes, it's to realize your body is still changing. It's just that one thing that is, you're putting all your kind of eggs in that one basket. And what I also like to say is, weight is a lag measure. It's a result of doing certain habits, and we're putting all the attention on the result, but not as we want to put more of our attention on those key things that drive the result, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And reward and track and pat ourselves on the back for really that behavior change and all of those things that we're doing for self-care and health and all of that, whereas often people only give themselves a reward or think that they're doing a good job when the scales have moved. So it sounds like you do really well in that. You've really got kind of that, you've got the scales where they need to be, which is kind of in the corner, tucked
yes.
away. And if you feel, okay, my clothes are getting a little bit, or I just feel like I just need to, okay, come back. What are the key things do you focus on? What are the things that you pay more attention to?
I noticed that if I, for example, don't fit in something, I just make it there as a goal. All right. For example, I heard a lot of people saying, oh my God, I went to work today and the person, they didn't see me for a while, say, oh my God, you lost weight, you look amazing. That's the focus that you have, because it's not like you go around with your scale in your hand or look, I'm dropping the number.
Yeah.
You go around with yourself, and that's what people see. What people see is what you can see. It's so weird. And I've been there, so I totally understand the frustration when you are focused so much obsessed with that number and you can't really see your progress. And when I understood that other things were more important than dropping the scale is when I found my relaxation in my mind. I was relaxed. I'm relaxed about myself. I'm not where I was on my day one, okay? I'm never gonna get there again. So whatever happens, I'm always gonna be in a better place than I was before. So it doesn't matter if I even gain a few pounds back or lose a few more. It doesn't matter. I am in my happy place now, and that's all that matters now. I don't care anymore about the number on the scale, if it's there, up, down, couldn't care less.
Beautiful. So that's really lovely and positive. And you've got girls. And I think that's really a lovely thing when people have children around. Not that boys can't be, that men still suffer from obesity and body image and all of that. But girls particularly, especially in our life now with social media and tiny little models and everything like that, it's lovely to have that and bring that into the family and bring into that role modeling. And I know we talked a little bit about this on the live because I think it's another layer of motivation for many women to bring that into their family and their health journey into their family journey with the family. And I think it's a, if we talk about what your why is for your surgery, it's not the dress size. It's not the I can wear. That's the icing on the cake. It's feeling good about yourself and really being confident. And it can also be for many people of bringing in healthy behaviors into their family. So I think you relate to that, Manu, and how I found your girls watching you shrink, so to speak.
I don't think they kind of really realized what was happening because they are so young. The eldest is going to be 6 in June and the little one is 4. So, but I know what changed. And I know, for example, that before I wasn't sending the right message. I mean, a mom who is or cry in front of the mirror every time or always dressed with the same clothes or don't care about herself is not the right thing to show to your kids, especially two little girls. But now they can see how my confidence has grown. They come to me, Mommy, am I beautiful? Mommy, can I have the lipstick? Mommy, can I have this? Mommy, am I gorgeous? And it's priceless because I know that I'm sending the right message. It doesn't matter what the way that you look, you are beautiful, no matter what. And it was so hard before. It was heartbreaking sometimes. But now I know that I can be the good role model that they need, basically.
Yep. Beautiful. Because you can't give what you haven't got. And so you're now able to give that more to them. And that is beautiful. That is lovely. And yeah, watch out. It won't be long until their shoe size fits yours and they take taking your shoes. I come to
wait for that.
If somebody is in those really early days and their weight loss is stopping and starting, and as you're saying, they're not seeing the difference, like they can't see themselves like everyone else can, what advice would you give if they're really in that stuck, things are, the process is happening, they're still in that negative headspace? What have you got advice or what would to move people out of that?
Actually, I receive a lot of messages with these kind of questions. And the only thing that I always reply with another question, aren't you tired of feeling this way? I was. That's why I had to change it. I was so tired. You want things to change? Make it happen. You got this amazing tool. It's not a magic wand. You need to learn to use it to have long-term results. You need to understand that you need to be your own change. If you want to change, you're going to make the things changing. That's it. So aren't you tired to feel this way? Yes. So don't feel this way anymore. Focus on positive things. Focus on relax. You need to relax your mind. The process, the progress is happening. You need to trust your process, help it, and live your best life. It's time for you to live the best life that you can.
Yeah, beautiful. So moving from this is happening to me to I'm actually in charge of my life and I can do something about it. And yeah,
Yes.
and getting that you don't have to, we can actually change how we think. We can see things differently and we can think differently. And the first step is really, yeah, putting that line in the sand.
And also be patient, because I know that who doesn't? I also wanted to, my body transformation happen overnight, but it's not possible. It, this kind of changing, these transformations, this process, it takes time. And you just need to be patient, do whatever you can to help your process and trust it. That's it.
Beautiful. Yeah, lovely. And before we wrap up, because we've meandered through your life a little bit and saw plateaus and the process, anything else you'd like to share with people about your journey? Anything that you think also that comes up and you get asked a lot as a person that's had bariatric surgery? Because you're going to be asked things differently, different questions that I get asked. Obviously, it's very obvious. So I come on and I talk about and try and answer the and talk about the topics that people are asking me. Is there something else that you get asked a lot or get people want to know more about, or it comes up a lot in your Instagram as you're sharing your journey that you think would be really valuable to mention?
Well, one of the, yeah, the most common question they ask is, how did you manage not to get the loose skin? So I didn't manage to not get the loose skin, because I do have the loose skin. But because of many factors, and also because I really wanted to help the product, that's why I say help your process, because you can get results and results, okay? If you help your process, you're going to have results. And that's what I did. So I exercise. The perfect combination is cardio and weightlifting. Cardio helps to slim down. Weightlifting helps to build the muscles underneath, obviously, tighten up the skin and stuff. I do have the loose skin. It just doesn't look that bad in the pictures. Because let's not forget, this is a social media, it's a platform. Obviously, you can't see the reality 100%. That's why I try to make videos and pictures and be more consistent to show people, look, I have my own imperfections, but I'm embracing them now. I'm not complaining about them anymore, because this is me. It's not like I don't need to go for a Victoria's Secret walk. This is me. And that's it. I need to start to love myself the way that I am.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, the main things that I keep saying is to help your process, because your transformation, your progress, it won't happen overnight. So if you want to do something good in your journey, help your process.
Beautiful. Manu, thank you so much. That is such, it's been a wonderful chat. I've really loved it. I love catching up with you. You're so beautiful. And thank you. Really, really appreciate your time. And everyone listening, thank you so much for listening to my podcast. I'm getting some really wonderful people DMing me and comments and reviews. And it's really, yeah, wonderful that people are finding my podcast of value. I love having guests because, yes, I can sit in my office and talk to myself, well, so to speak, all the time. But having guests and having that lived experience and that your wisdom as a person that's had bariatric surgery is really wonderful. So thank you, Manu. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And I really
thank
look
you.
Forward. Thank you. I look forward to being back in your ears next week. Bye for now.